Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
It is Mustard and Johnson, our number two on this fine Saturday. Not so fine for the Red Sox, who are now looking up at an 8.5 game bulge between them and the first place Yankees. They're 8 behind in the lost column to the Tampa Bay Rays and 9 to the Yanks. And it's only June 1st. That's the good news, but a lot of alarming signs thus far in the first couple months of the Red Sox 2019 season. As we said, no team has repeated as World Series winners for almost 20 years now. It just doesn't happen in the 21st century, and the way the Red Sox are playing right now probably won't happen this year. Meanwhile, of course, the Bruins gunning for their first Stanley Cup trophy. Want to lift Lord Stanley's chalice for the first time since 2011, the Tim Thomas year, where they stunned Vancouver in 7. They are the favorites, of course, against St. Louis, but Larry, after game 2 and that overtime loss where they were just banged around all over the place at the Garden, certainly the momentum is with the Blues going in to game 3 tonight at 8 o'clock. First time they played a final since the Bruins and Blues played back in the Bobby Orr and Esposito era of 1970. Hello, Larry Johnson. Are you there?
What happened to your sports flash?
We do that at 8:20 now, and 9:20 or 11:20 or whatever it is. It's 20 in the hour.
I thought you were doing the flash.
I was not.
I was busy reading a story about
Debbie
Thomas.
That's how much you pay attention to this show.
It's true, to be honest with you. That's why I was reading.
Do you think I was misleading the public?
No, I thought you were looking up how to say Siakam.
Why would I lie? Ooh, got to kind of settle in there. You did it right the first time, and then it just devolved from there.
I wanted to give Ken some more material.
Because, see, what you're a master.
Him and Mark. Mark's supposed to be my friend. I always
Mark
ask
who?
The guy.
Mark James?
C. Always ask the guy when he comes in every week and turns the lights down. I said, how you doing? You have a good week and everything. Then every time when I turn the show on, he's ripping me. They're playing these drop-ins about me butchering up a name.
I wonder where they're getting these drops. I mean, do they spend hours?
They have
hours,
a whole file on me.
I mean, do they spend hours and hours combing through the digital files of the Mustard and Johnson show?
At least they're staying off somebody else's back. They never go after you.
What have I ever said?
I feel a white. I feel a white agenda in
there
here.
There could be.
They never go after you.
They could be. There's a certain simpatico that we have, white males. But, you know,
Larry, have your sheets with your names on them. I didn't get one.
Have a nice day.
I see you got rape on here twice.
Oh, no, I'm not going to repeat that.
Why don't you be a mayor? You'll never get on Barstool.
By the way, did you happen to see, speaking of politically incorrect media and theatrical
I want to say hi to my buddy Jerry Callahan.
Go ahead.
Good. I just did.
All right. Very good. Did you happen to see the updated versions of All in the Family and the Jeffersons?
I heard it.
It was on a couple weeks ago.
They didn't pull it off, though, quite.
Woody Harrelson taking on Carol O'Connor was
a
Herculean effort, which he did not succeed in at any level.
You can't do that.
No, it was hard to do. But you're going back, of course, to Blazing Saddles. You could never get away with that line.
Oh, no.
And I'm not going to say what the line is or a lot of the other things that are included in that movie.
He says you got raped down here twice. He said, I like rape.
Yeah, you couldn't do that in 2019.
Well, we're quoting a movie.
You're quoting it.
I am.
Yeah. Maybe they'll throw that on the air.
Maybe they'll throw that on.
Right.
It'll get to, I say in 5 years, you'll be banned from laughing on here. You will not be able to have any fun at all.
So,
of course, some people don't deem it as fun, and I understand that.
So I'm interested, speaking of other shows, when Mark with a C comes in, I used to call him the king of all media because he was on NESN and WEEI.
Did he get fired or what is
it? I'm not sure. You know, he fills in for Jim Rome. He's Steph Curry's favorite TV or radio talk show host.
So he says.
I'm very good friends with Steph Curry.
Right. And we heard Steph. Steph confirmed it. We hear it on the Open each and every Saturday. Yet, somehow
or another.
I thought
Steph liked Drake. I thought Steph liked
Drake.
Well,
apparently Drake, who I never even heard of until this
he's got a
NBA
cupcake,
final series.
Cupcake company.
Yeah, that's very good. I love their cupcakes.
Yeah.
Apparently Drake had a tattoo of both Steph and Clay, or maybe Steph and Durant.
The Splash Brothers?
Not the Splash, just Steph and Durant.
Yeah.
And he covered that up because, of course, he's from the greater Toronto area. He's now rooting for the Raptors, and there's a lot of byplay in the game. Who the bleep cares?
He's Drake, damn it!
Who is Drake? I have no idea. I know he's a rapper. That's all I know.
I don't know who any of these people are.
And who cares? I mean, seriously, forget it. Play the basketball game and forget about Drake. 617-779-7937. Let's go to David down in FLA, who has a gripe about Alex Cora. David, what's the problem?
David!
Good morning.
Hey,
how are you?
Rise and shine. You know, first of all, I mean, I wouldn't pay a penny to go see the Stones right now. I mean,
wow.
I mean, I'm glad Mick Jagger was able to come back like you, Larry. But I mean, they're done.
Done? Have you seen them?
Wait a minute. Stop me up.
They are better now. I mean, they are better now live than they were 40 years ago. They play a 3-hour show. They played a 90-minute show 40 years ago when I last saw them. They do 3 hours. I've seen a couple of the shows on Netflix, a couple of the live shows. It is at the top of their game, 75 years old. You know nothing about the Stones. You haven't seen them forever.
I heard one of the most...
You can't always get what you want, and I can... You know, Mick Jagger can't get any satisfaction. I know my.
Oh,
stones.
Wow. Ooh, that was very clever.
I heard one of your best shows when I was out was Who's the Better Band, the Stones or the Beatles.
We did that. I did that 30 years ago on a show back when I was doing The Morning.
Yeah.
We didn't do
no,
a show.
No, you did.
Yeah.
I heard you did it here.
We did not do a show. We mentioned it. That's
well,
about it.
Well, somebody said you had it.
No,
on
we,
there.
No, we just mentioned
they
it.
They said, but it was riveting radio. They pulled a hamstring getting up to
so
turn.
So Big O was complaining about it.
Pulled a hamstring trying to get up to turn the radio
what
off.
What a shock. Big O was listening to another station was critical about it. David, what's your problem with Alex Cora?
I mean, first of all, I'm going to make a global statement.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, I know they won. I know what they did last year. And my contention is that it was overwhelmingly because they had such a successful year offensively. Now, that being said, if you look at Belichick before he was with the Patriots, he failed in Cleveland. If you look at Francona before he was here, he failed in Philadelphia. Same thing with Doc Rivers in Orlando. You need, in Boston, you need, more often than not, you need to have, this cannot be a first-time job for a coach or manager. And I mean, I don't just mean your first year of coaching, you win a World Series.
Well, this wasn't Cora's first job.
Well, it was.
Yes,
as a manager.
Well, as a head coach.
No, as a manager.
Yeah, he was a dugout coach. Yeah. Listen, we all know, David, I doubt you were calling this radio station last year where they pretty much had...
I was. Oh, I was. I promise you I was. I, without any doubt, I promise you I was. I mean, there were so many decisions he made last year. I mean...
How did they win?
Because they were hitting the tar out of the ball.
Well, we all know, David.
How many home runs did JD have last year at this point?
Right, listen. Right, we all know the Red Sox were better last year at executing on the field. And we also know that managers have an impact maybe 5 games in the regular season. But you have to admit, even the harshest critic, even the worst Red Sox I'm mixing my metaphors here, Monday morning quarterback would say that Alex Cora had one of the great seasons ever as a Red Sox manager. Virtually everything he did last year was beyond just execution on the mound or at the plate. Every button he pushed last year worked. Now, obviously the players are responsible for getting the job done on the field. You can only do so much from the dugout. He didn't get stupid in the last 6 months. It's just really difficult to win a World Series and then come back in the next 2 months. You got that big hangover. Look at the Dodgers last year. They lost the World Series in seven of the Astros. They were under 500 at this point in the regular season before they came back. So Alex Cora is still a very good manager. It was a great hire by the Red Sox, and he's exactly the guy you want in the dugout. Any issue with that? Or are you still reading the internet over there?
No. I still like Cora. I like his openness. I think, obviously, they're going through a bad stretch, but he's got no control over certain players getting injured, no more so than the Yankees do.
Right. It's
just the Yankee players are coming through for them. That's the difference.
Right. And Alex Cora, I just believe that anybody who steps into that job, especially in Boston, where you're always going to be in the harsh light and people are always ready to pounce.
See, I don't think people have been that hot on him.
No, because I think, again, they've been covered by the Bruins. They were covered to an extent by the Celtics. It's still early. There's a lot of goodwill still out there because the Red Sox won the World Series. They dominated three very good teams throughout the postseason. And, you know, we've won 12 championships in this town since 2002. I think you're going to get a little latitude. I don't. The critics are certainly not going to be as harsh as they would have been had all of this success for all four teams not been teeming, abounding, running over in the last 10 years or so. Let's go to Jake in Woburn, who's next on Sports Radio
Jake.
WEEI. Hey, Jake.
How are you doing, fellas?
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. Larry, great to have you back. You know,
thank you, my friend.
I go along with some of the people who call in and they'll say they'd like to see you on once, twice during the week as well. Put my vote in for that as well.
Yeah, I heard Ken Laird said that.
Not that you're not okay. Bitter.
Yeah, the morning producer.
Good thing you're not bitter about it.
Hey, at least he's talking about me.
So what's on your mind, Jake?
Well, what I'm calling for, you played a lot of debt to John Havlicek last week and the week before, well-deserved. And you played the famous cut. But what I would like to see is, if you play that even further, a little bit further through than you did last week, and it goes even a little bit further than that, you can tell it gets even more exciting. I mean, he just, if you play that just a few more lines, if you'd like to do it this morning, I'd love to hear it again.
Doesn't he say...
He just says Havlicek stole the ball at least three more times.
Yeah.
And a couple of other things. He just doesn't stop for longer.
Doesn't he say he's...
Give it a shot and see what you come up with.
Yeah. Doesn't he say he's hugged by Bill Russell? Bill Russell hugs
yes,
him.
Yes, he does.
Squeezes him. I bet he did, since it was Russell who made the mistake.
That's right. You're right. Yeah, it does go on further. If you could cue that up, I'd like to hear that one more time.
Would it make your day?
It would positively make it. That and the schedule you guys once more during the week would make my day.
Well, I appreciate that, Jake. See if we can cue up Johnny. It is April 1965. It is Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The 76ers with Wilt on their team and, of course, Russell on the Celts. And the 76ers,
you know what his favorite nickname was?
The Stilt?
The Dipper. The Big Dipper.
The Big Dipper. I actually,
and that had nothing to do with basketball.
I actually, 20,000 times, baby.
Hey.
I actually made a pilgrimage to Hershey, Pennsylvania. Back in 2012, it was actually on the 50th anniversary of the 100 game.
Game that nobody saw.
Nobody saw. There was one picture after the game.
They've
got
holding
a little
cardboard.
It says 100. And we went to see it. It's still in use. It's right next to Hershey Park.
He was a great guy, by the way. I wish we could.
You knew him, didn't you?
I did know him.
Yeah. So anyway, here it is. Game 7. Wilt versus Russell, 1965. Celtics up by one. And the 76ers are about to take out the ball on the baseline.
Greer's putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep.
I guess we don't have the long cut. Oh, well. Anyway, that was an exciting moment. And
you didn't make his day.
Well, we need the long cut. We'll figure that out at some point down the line. Ralph and Cranston. There it is.
Is that the long version?
I don't know. That was the 45. We need the 33 and a third. Meanwhile, the guy was probably at the Boston Garden in 1965 for that historic moment. It is Ralph from Cranston who's next on Sports Radio.
Ralphie boy.
Hey, glad to hear you're feeling better, Larry.
How are you?
Havlicek was my favorite. Sound great. Havlicek was my favorite Celtic. It wasn't even not even a close second to Bert. I mean, he really was my favorite Celtic. It was too bad. I met him a few times, and guys, everything they say about him being a really good guy and great with the fans, oh, he was phenomenal. He would treat you as though you were like, you know, a bank president if you washed cars. This guy was amazing. But anyway, you know, earlier in the year, the rumor was that the Bruins were going to trade Backes for the contract for Lucic, Milan Lucic. Don't you wish they had him back now? My God.
How's he playing? Fun. How is he playing this year?
Well, no, he didn't play that well, but they really, they kind of knew they needed to get a little bigger and tougher in the playoffs, and they tried to do it without it. But having an enforcer or somebody like that, an O'Reilly, somebody back would help them now. Larry, I agree with you. I'd bring up some jackass from the minors to just go out there and bang. That's how St. Louis wants to play. Hey, guys.
Who's the guy we have wandering around here who used to play with the Bruins?
Byers.
Put Lyndon Byers.
Oh, boy, Lyndon Byers.
Right now.
Perfect guy to have.
We had a guy call one time. He was talking about Mother's Day or something, and Lyndon wanted his address so he could go out and greet him, if you know what I mean.
Well, Orr's goal was scored on Mother's Day. Maybe that's
it was. I remember it. I remember exactly where I was. Mother's Day, 1970.
Absolutely. Me too. Hey, guys, don't you wish the Yankees, the Yankees, I bet you they wish they could trade Stanton's contract back to the National League right now. They got some players with all these guys coming back too. Look, even though I'm a Red Sox fan, it's hard to dislike that team. It's a likable team, and they're playing real well.
I happen to agree with you. I think I liked them last year. I just think they're you don't have that. I wish you still had the hate factor, though. That you're missing.
Yeah, but
Okay.
Craig, you just viciously cut the guy. What did you cut him off for?
No, that Eamon did that.
That was on me.
Now you made this signal with your fingers across
your
neck.
I did, but at the pause. I mean, we usually put a pause to take a breath, not in the middle of his
What kind of people are you? You just cut people off.
What kind of people? What do you mean people?
What do you mean by people? You people. You know, the producer. You just cut the guy off at mid-sentence.
I was about to say that, yeah, the Yankees are likable, but unfortunately, if you have an inclination to the Yankees being likable, all of that will end. And after this call, Mike and Ken, you're next on Sports Radio.
Oh, you cut him off because you were in a hurry to get to Mike.
I couldn't wait.
Hey, Craig, you turned my head with such praise.
I know. You're blushing.
Hey,
I talked to
Dave from Canton the other day. He was asking about Craig. And I told him Craig's got his own mechanic now. He's trying to rip off.
Believe me, my wife makes the decision about what mechanics
she
I
makes
use.
Decisions about everything you do.
Believe me,
I want to talk baseball. First, about the Bruins, why not bring in the Hanson brothers for this game?
There you go. I'm listening to the bleeping song.
Right.
I wish Paul Newman was still around.
Yeah, that is a great movie. That was on. As a matter of fact, that was on TCM. Oh. Had that, and I actually DVR'd it. I'm going to watch that in the next couple of days.
One of my all-time favorites, Craig.
Funny movie.
You laugh.
And written by a woman, Nancy Dowd, who's a friend of Dale Arnold. She's from Maine, believe it or not.
Wow.
And that used to be on network television. How could you possibly put that movie on network television?
No. Hey, but on the Yankees and the Red Sox, first of all, it isn't Boone managing. Forget Boone. The guys who deserve the credit for this team are Brian Cashman and Tim Nehring. They're the ones who put the team together. All right? They went out and got these guys.
Tim Nehring's working for them?
Been down there for a while, yeah.
Yeah, he's the vice president of Cashman's right-hand man. He's vice president of baseball operations, yeah. And he's in charge of player development. So those are the guys that deserve the credit. I mean, you've heard me say this before. We make too much of managers in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It's
all about the general manager. We understand that. But you would have to admit that, you know, Boone had a decent rookie year, only overshadowed by Cora, and they're both blessed with tremendous talent and great organizations.
Right. I mean, but was Buck Showalter all of a sudden a bad manager?
No. And how did Buck do at the helm with the Yankees? He won two games as a manager in the postseason.
Yeah,
that's
and
about
he lost
it.
The next three.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it's just we overblow the whole thing. But I got to tell you something, guys. Look about the Red Sox. Craig, you make some good points, but here's the bottom line, Craig. Their closer right now is sitting at home eating bonbons. And they're trying to get away with these other clowns. You can't do that.
Closer by committee.
Yeah, but And you know what? You know what? You know what that's a product of? That's a product of these sabermetrics geeks, you know, with the boat shoes and the alligator shirts, who say, I hear it all the time. Getting three outs in the ninth inning is no different than getting three outs in the sixth inning. That's nonsense. And you know who says it's nonsense? Derek Lowe. He did all the jobs. He did setup man. He did closer. He did starter. And he said, let me tell you something. There's a major difference between pitching in the ninth inning as opposed to the eighth inning. Major difference.
Yeah, some have been able to do it.
So what are they going to do?
I don't know, Larry. I mean, but this Brazier guy's not cutting it. That's for sure. I mean, you can't bring him in.
No, they're not going to. If they think they're going to make any noise in the postseason, they have to get there first. They're going to have to figure out what this bullpen is all about. Obviously, that's one of the Yankees' strengths, and one of the reasons why the Yankees have been so successful this year is that bullpen, and we saw it last night, four innings of shutout baseball. It's all slotted. They have four or five guys that can do the job, and they have the guy at the back end most of the time who can do the job.
Right, right. By the way, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about Mariano Rivera, first man in history to be unanimously selected for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. As he should be.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Larry, you are such a fraud.
Right.
We spent, I don't know if
no,
we,
you want Jeter to be unanimously elected.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
Hold on. We had this discussion. You were in exile, Mike. I don't know. You were spending 40 days in the desert. I don't know where you were.
Yeah.
And Larry was all upset about Rivera getting 100%.
That's not true.
It
is not.
You said no one should have 100%.
No.
You said that.
No. Rivera is the only one I said, not Jeter. We had an argument you thought Jeter should get in with 100%.
Okay, right. And thank you for reminding me. Don't you believe, Mike, that Rivera and Jeter both should be 100%? Who would think that Derek Jeter doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame?
No, I didn't know. There's a difference between being elected into the Hall of Fame and getting 100% vote.
Well, you know, I have to
it's
say...
It's illogical to say that.
No, it's not.
We have to say Rivera's an immortal like Ruth and Williams and DiMaggio, and I'll tell you why. Craig, forget about your grandchildren. Your great-grandchildren will never see the likes of Rivera. Okay? I don't think that's an outrageous statement.
But you're not answering the question.
I see what you're saying. I think the point is...
Should Jeter get in 100%?
I think so.
Oh, you've been out working too long.
But I see your point, that because Rivera is the greatest at that particular position or role in the history of the game.
Doesn't matter what role. He was the greatest.
He was the best.
He was the best.
Jeter is the second best shortstop in history.
You think so?
Yeah.
What about A-Rod?
Oh, Nomar's better. I forgot. Nomar. A-Rod's not a shortstop.
Yeah.
He's a third baseman. And a fraud.
He should have been.
Hey, Larry. Larry, let me remind you, you're the one who did the cartoon, the split screen between Jeter and Nomar. Remember that one?
Yes.
One of my favorite cartoons of all time.
But I don't think Jeter, I like him a lot. I think he should get in, but not 100%.
But it's an illogical argument.
Why?
You think he should get in, you line 10 guys up in a room, which one isn't going to vote for him?
I think Hank Aaron should get in. I thought Willie Mays. Did they get 100%?
But they should have.
Did they?
No, that's not the point. They should have.
What's the point?
Who thinks? You line up every voter in the room. What idiot isn't going to vote for Willie Mays for the Hall of Fame?
Well, why didn't they?
Because they're idiots.
They're idiots.
It's totally ridiculous that there wasn't 100% for those players.
Well, since we're taking an idiot convention, I don't think Jeter should be 100%.
All right, Michael, I appreciate it.
Well, Larry, let me ask you this. Yeah. Should Flintstone Vitamins get in 100%?
No, obviously, no.
What do you mean, obviously? Why not? He was the clutchest player in the history of the game.
For 100%?
Why not?
Didn't play defense?
He's the best DH in the history of the game.
What other
DH? He's the best.
Martinez was the best DH.
He's also the best chemist in the history.
Mike, I'm going to give you that exit line, 617-779. Unless you want to cut him off, Eamon, that would be fine, too.
Well, you people are good at that.
We people. What do you mean by we? I'm getting sick and tired of this.
Let me ask you a question.
Are you putting us under one blanket?
Yeah, do you use signals when you drive? Because you seem to cut people off quite a bit.
What kind of people are those? Prius drivers?
I don't know. Could be.
617-779-7937. It's Mustard and Johnson. Final half hour on the way if you want to join us.
I want to know where the sports trend is or whatever it is.
Oh, that's right. Thanks for reminding me. I got to do this trend right now.
You're trying to get away without doing it?
No, I love doing it. I bask in it. I revel in it.
I hope Joey's listening.
Can you fire up that trend there, Eamon?
He's also the best chemist in history.
Mike, I'm going to give you that exit line.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
No, I mean, this is... When you look at their lineup, they got some guys in there that can play the game, and they have some veteran guys, too. So, obviously, without some of the big names in there, but they're big leaguers, and anybody can do anything at any time at this level, so you never sell anyone short.
Chris Sale taking another loss last night, pitched well enough to win, gave up 4 runs in 6 innings, but fell to 1-7. He struck out 10 last night. He has 66 K's in his last 6 starts, yet he has won 1 game since August, Larry. The Red Sox are 3-9 and Chris Sale starts, and they're now 8.5 games, as you know, behind the Yanks and essentially Tampa 2 in the AL East. Long way to go, but here we are on June 1st. Red Sox not playing the brand of baseball we saw last year, obviously. And maybe now there's some people out there, and this is an occupational hazard. When the Red Sox lose, the guy that's going to get most of the blame, as it has been forever, is the manager. But I'd be hard-pressed for me to watch that game last night and blame Alex Cora for Nunez, who's a veteran player, and he stood up and was accountable after the game. But how are you going to blame Alex Cora for getting picked off second base?
The guy's falling asleep at second. I mean, you can't blame him for that.
Right. And this is a resilient team. They have too much talent. Division is not out of question. It's going to be difficult at this point. I know it's June 1st, but 8.5 is a pretty deep hole. On the other hand, there are what, 6 slots available in the American League?
Mm.
5 slots available, the 3 divisions and the 2 wild card. They're going to get into a wild card. They got to do the 1-and-done if they do, but long way to go. And I think more people have the Bruins on their minds right now than they do the Red Sox. When a team is in the finals, whether the Celtics or Bruins in late spring and early summer, gives a team that's struggling a bit over there at Fenway Park a little bit of a cover. So I don't think anybody's ready to pull out Bob Lobel's panic button, but Red Sox Nation couldn't have been too happy about losing to the Yankees for a third straight time last night and falling into that hole in the AL East. But one guy who is, I'm sure, pretty euphoric about the whole thing, Stephen Waltham, who's next on Sports Radio WEI. It's amazing how they do come out of the woodwork after a Yankee victory over the Red Sox.
They're loaded up on the call screen, that's for sure. Very happy, but it is June 1st, there's a long way to go. And you know what? Personally, it would be nice to bury the Red Sox, but the bottom line is if the Yankees don't win the division, they're still in the same boat they were last year. So winning the division is still the ultimate prize.
It's funny how you think about that. We are so obsessed with Yankees versus Red Sox. There is a team in between that is right on the heels of the Yankees. So.
And they're not going anywhere, to be honest with you. So I'm just amazed, and I'm going to echo Mike's comment about Cashman and Nehring. I mean, finding guys like Luke Voit, Gio Urshela, I mean, some of the pickups they've made, they're missing, a Cy Young pitcher in Severino. They're missing Rookie of the Year guys in Judge and Andujar. They're missing all these big players, and yet these guys are coming in. DJ LeMahieu, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of National League ball. Did not know this guy. Didn't know that he won a batting champion for the Rockies. And he is, as someone said last night, he's the silent assassin. This guy, that pitch that Sale hung, the slider, I mean, it was all over. This guy has, I think he's like second in the league in multi-hit games next to the guy for the Astros. His name escapes me. They're doing it with guys. And that's the thing that I like. DJ LeMahieu is the reason why the team is better. I am not a big, oh, let's home run, and strikeout. Put the ball in play. That's the only way you're going to win. That's how the Red Sox won last year.
Right.
You put the ball in play.
And clutch hitting, runners in scoring position, we all know that's what it has to be, especially in this day and age where so many teams are striking out now. And I know that the home run ball is up, I guess, in May. There were more home runs, Larry and Steve, hit in May than any month in the history of Major League Baseball. On the other side of that, of course, there's more strikeouts. People are striking out left and right. Everybody's worried about launch angle and exit velocity and everything else. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I want to see them make contact.
Yeah.
And as you well know, Steve, I don't have to give you a history lesson. The teams that won those four championships in 5 years in the Torrey years were not home run hitters. They were contact hitters. They were clutch hitters. They always got the job done with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, it's just that's been the refreshing part about watching the current Yankee team that has had upwards to, like, I don't know, 16, 17 guys in the IL. I mean, this team is a lot. I mean, they're a rootable team. They're easily a team to root for.
Yeah, I understand that. And they were a couple of years ago, too. Last year, they were not. Had Stanton on the team, and then Judge, of course, was in the next year where the expectations were high, and it was almost as if they reverted to the old Yankee teams of the early 21st century where you're just loading up with free agent talent.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to be honest with you, had they not picked up Stanton last year, you probably would see Harper on the team this year. I'm a firm believer they would have probably gone on the side.
You know what? I don't need Harper. I agree.
I wouldn't have endorsed that at all. Right. I mean, look at a guy who's going to be pitching tonight for the Yankees, right?
Herman.
He was a throw-in in a trade with the Marlins from Martin Prado, okay? He was rehabbing from Tommy John, okay? Now, he's essentially duplicated what Luis Severino.
He's 9-1. He's basically doing what Severino did last year.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't count out the Red Sox. You know as well as anybody, Steve. You know
absolutely
as well
not.
As anybody. The Red Sox are never down. There's way too much talent on this team.
Yep, but I will say this, and this is another thing I echo about. I've been saying it all year. That bullpen is an issue, and
it's going to
continue to be an issue. And you know, early
how do they fix it?
Here's the thing, okay? And I think the farm system is bare. And I think Dombrowski has spent up to, I don't even know what the tiers are in the luxury tax, but they're up to the top tier pretty close.
Right.
So I don't think they're going to make many moves. I'm predicting they're going to
Their farm system's thin.
Yeah.
Well, it's also going to be very difficult to duplicate what they did last year, 108-win season, and the dominance they demonstrated in the postseason. You're not going to have – that was the greatest season in Red Sox history. You can say that 2004 was certainly more emotional and dramatic, but as far as the sheer numbers are concerned,
how many people are you talking though that they lost from last year?
Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah. And the Boston fans weren't that wild about him to begin with.
Right. And as we said, he was hardly a lockdown closer.
Heart attack closer was more like it.
Definitely so. Dimitri in Danvers, you're next on Sports Radio.
Dimitri.
WEI.
Hi, guys. First time, long time. It's a pleasure listening to you every Saturday, and I'm very happy that both you guys are getting healthy as well.
Well, we were waiting for you to call.
Listen, I think we have an elephant in the room, and that's...
Hey, excuse me.
He's only 3 weeks back.
I lost weight.
Listen, I think Dombrowski's done a great job getting Sale and getting Eovaldi and Pierce. But I think that there's an elephant with Betts. And I think that if a month from now, 6 weeks from now, things are not turning around, and I think I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think that Betts has to go. And I think if we get a couple of pitchers, if we restock the farm system, I think unfortunately that's the direction that he has to go.
Wait a minute. You saying that you want to trade Mookie Betts?
Yes.
The guy who was the MVP of the league last year, who was Silver Slugger and was a Gold Glove winner. The guy who's five-tool, can do it all. One of the two or three most talented individual players
the
game.
He wants to test free agency, though.
So are you doing this because you think that you're not going to sign him anyway?
Yes.
Okay, asking Dimitri. Okay.
Listen, other than A-Rod, tell me a team that has won the championship having the highest or one of the highest salary individuals on the team.
Well, wait a minute. The Yankee teams in the late 90s were always at the very top of the payroll.
One player, Craig, whether it be like
you're talking about a superstar that they're paying way too much money for? Yes. Okay, so that's a good point. I mean, we know that bloated team salaries don't always translate into World Series championships, but the guy's just too good. I understand. I think you got to find a way. I know he's dead set, and Dimitri, I appreciate the call. I know he's dead set, Larry, on going to free agency, but you got to find a way to keep this kid.
Well, you're going to keep him if he doesn't want to sign here, unless he wants some unbelievable. If he wants Trout money, what are you going to do?
Okay, let's expand a little bit about the point that Dimitri brought up. You're Dombrowski, you're Henry, you're Werner. You know how talented this kid is. It wasn't the reason.
So how high are you going to try and sign him? $300 million?
Are you
going to
get a contract like Machado or Harper? That's what they got.
Well, see, he's
better than both of those guys.
I don't care. I'm not paying anybody that kind of money.
You're not? Okay. So
look where they are with Pedroia.
Well, Pedroia's not making that kind of money, and he signed a long-term contract.
He's still owed.
You know what?
He's still owed.
Dustin Pedroia
is not owed $40 million.
It's not a drag. I don't believe it's a drag on the Red Sox.
Pay $40 million for a guy that can't play for you anymore.
No, but Mookie, but remember when they paid for him, Mookie is a much different position than career.
Obviously there's a big difference in salaries. Right. But let's say you sign Mookie or Trout or one of these guys, and then after 2 years they get hurt.
Well, you can say that about anybody.
No, you're not paying anybody $300 million.
So when it comes up,
I'm not paying that kind
of
money.
When Mookie walks and he's demanding $300 million,
let him walk.
And you say let him walk.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not paying that kind of money, Craig.
All right. 617.
The guy gets hurt. What are you going to do?
Okay. Anybody can get hurt at any time.
Not for that kind of money.
Okay. Just a blanket statement. You don't care who it is.
Right.
Okay. There's not one player you'd pay that kind of money for.
No.
All right, 617-779.
Look at Sale. They signed him to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, he's not making $300 million,
Craig,
but
he's still making a lot of money, and, right. and he gets hurt.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear you complaining about it.
Guys get hurt.
Right, but when he signed that deal, I didn't remember you criticizing that deal at all.
I didn't criticize it. First of all, it's not $300 million.
Okay, so that's your bottom line.
You could buy a baseball team. It's ridiculous.
But you know what? He's going to get it somewhere. Okay?
Let it be somewhere else.
Sayonara, I guess.
Let it be somewhere else. I'm not paying that kind of money.
617-779-7937. Mustard and Johnson, home stretch time. It is King James coming your way at 11 right here on Sports Radio.
I have to laugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a new year, different challenges, obviously. Inconsistency has been tough, and you can't really play this game and be good if you're inconsistent. And we're dealing with that, but we have a long way to go to fix it.
Mookie Betts and the Red Sox losing last night to the Yanks. Game number 2 tonight, 6:15 pregame, 7:15 or so first pitch. Josh Lewin, Joe Kostig right here. On Sports Radio WEEI, Mookie's numbers down from last year a little bit. Higher OPB at .398 as opposed to .372 as far as his career. Slugging down, OPS down as well. But still, it's June 1st, guys. Long way to go. Tough to look at 8.5 game deficit. but a lot of baseball left. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It is John in Gardner. Well, the Red Sox don't have a closer, but we always do right here on Sports Radio and Mustard and Johnson. John, deliver the goods as you always do.
Thank you. Good morning, boys. And
Larry,
you are sounding stronger and stronger, and that's very encouraging to all your fans out here.
At least three people are happy.
Well, I'm one of them.
Great.
Two quick tidbits, and then my major point, Craig. One, I think you got to make an exception for Mookie, Larry. But I must say, I wish he'd show a little something about wanting to be here. I've always slammed these guys that want the top dollar and want to be, you know, every cent they can get on the open market.
You're going to pay a guy $300 million.
That's the marketplace. It's the marketplace.
I just think...
Well, then you don't
Between his personality and his ability, I think you got to make an exception for a guy like that. I don't like it particularly, but I would make an exception.
There's not one area in the game where he's not one of the two or three best players in the game.
Right. And that, to me, the icing on the cake is his attitude, playing like he's having fun, which so many of these guys, in my opinion, don't seem like it's a weakness to smile when they hit a home run or something. You know what I mean? Drives me nuts.
Listen, I love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. He's one of my favorite players. But when where do you stop?
Well, I mean, you got to go with what the market is. And I'll tell you, I hope these players get clued in a little bit about these attendance ratings going down and so forth. They got to speed up the damn game. I'm a baseball guy, and I have hard time not playing with the clicker when there's a ball game.
These four-hour games, it's just ridiculous.
My goodness, it's crazy.
It really is.
And Pedroia, he's going to get the money he's going to get regardless. I don't understand why people are so after the guy about quitting.
I'm not after him. I'm just saying.
Not you. I wasn't talking about you, Larry.
You get stuck with these guys, and you got to pay off the money.
True. But
what insurance do you have as a team?
You don't. But that's the nature of the beast in baseball and basketball, you know? It's just the nature of the beast. I hope the guy somehow has – it looks like he's done. But let him come to that determination on his own.
Yeah, I've been saying this pretty consistently the last couple of years. I just don't envision Dustin Pedroia having any significant role for the Red Sox anymore.
I don't either, but
– doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
I'm sorry. Lastly, Craig, I was about halfway there. I think it was 3 weeks ago. I'm about three-quarters of the way to making a prediction about the Sox not making it. And when I'm ready to make that prediction, I'm also going to predict that Alex Cora will look back on this season as one of his best learning experiences as a manager. I think he broke that Cardinal Bill Belichick rule about not getting rid of last year mentally and emotionally.
Right. I agree with that.
Well, how many teams do that? You know, the Patriots might be the exception. Because of all the multiple Super Bowl championships they've won, and you heard the number. Nobody's repeated since the Yankees in 2000. It's very hard to do.
With a turnover of, three guys or four guys from opening day roster, you know, it's tough to do. It's not like football where you turn over, seems like a third of the team every year. But I'm not quite there yet, but they're beginning to worry me a little bit more.
Well, again, it's June 1st, John, and I think that you can look at the glass half full or half empty at this point. But because of that second wild card, they're going to find a way to get to the postseason. What they do with that at this point, it doesn't look promising. But again, as we close here, I really don't feel as if Red Sox Nation is in a state of dire panic at this
because
point.
I don't think anybody's that excited about anything right now, to tell you the truth.
Well, they're excited about the Bruins and Blues.
What's your prediction on that?
I still think the
Bruins in six?
I said five to begin with. I still think they can do that. They'd have to, of course, win both games in St. Louis. I think they'll split in St. Louis. I know this is I'm hedging my bets. I'm doing the big O. Let me sit on the fence here and cover both sides of the issue. He really didn't like that Beatles Rolling Stones debate, huh? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think the Bruins will probably win in six. They'll split in St. Louis, win game five, and then go back to St. Louis and win in six. I don't think there's any need for concern at this point.
I think six.
We agree.
Six.
We have found common ground.
I want to thank my friend Ken Laird for ripping me.
You have one last chance to redeem yourself.
Come out of the damn hospital.
One last chance.
You come out of the hospital. One last chance to get ripped and ripped when you come out.
Say it nice and clearly. Articulate, enunciate.
Spicy Pete.
And his given name is?
That's his nickname.
What's his given name?
Siakam.
What's his first name?
I forget his first name.
Pascal.
Pascal.
Pascal Siakam. Repeat after me, Larry. Pascal Siakam.
For Ken Laird? Yeah, Pascal Siakam.
Excellent. Repeat after me.
Spicy Pete.
Mark James with a C.
Yeah, I got to get after Mark, too. He's been ripping.
He's hiding over. He's cowering over in the other room. Usually comes in.
He is. He's scared of Larry.
Usually he comes in and says, Larry, how you doing?
He's a good friend. I'm one of the few people.
Mark James and the rest of the station wants him out of here on his ear. He's next. If he comes in here, he's probably going to wait for Larry to vacate the premises.
I'm not leaving.
You've done it before.
Stale Arnold.
Eamon did a great job on the other side of the glass. Hey, we'll see you next Saturday.
Good job. I don't know what you were smoking out there, but it worked.
At 9 o'clock. Have a good weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.